You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We've seen the cancel culture on full display these last few years. You know, they started when President Trump ran for president. They wanted to cancel him before he even got sworn in. Then they wanted to impeach him. And then after he's gone, they want to just act like he wasn't even president. And they want to shut down Republicans. They want to close down Fox News and Newsmax and OAN. They would sure love to get you off the air. We're not going to let that happen. But they're serious about it. And I think it's important. Yeah, but I think it's important, Alex, that we call them out on it and that we put the mirror in front of them and remind them what happens on some of these other networks, their darling far left radical networks, and the garbage that they're spewing.
Those words of Congressman Steve Scalise, Republican of Louisiana, February 26, 2021. You recall Congressman Scalise was targeted by a Bernie Sanders supporter as he opened fire on him and other Republicans at a baseball field while they were practicing for a little baseball game. And Scalise said, you have to blame the leftists. You have to blame their culture, their media, their spokesman. And they want us to take all the claim, I should say all the blame for anything that goes wrong when it involves anyone that might be conservative or linked to conservative, even if they really aren't. We're going to get into that in more detail. But if you want another example, a horrific example of what the left is now doing, the House passing the Equality Act to end legal recognition of biological sex. I've got a guest coming up later. Jarrett Stepman writes for the Daily Signal, Heritage, and other groups, and says this Equality Act will impose transgender ideology on everyone. And three Republicans voted for it as well. We'll get into that. But in the meantime, one of them, Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert, Republican, who is against it entirely. Let me read you his quote as to how he describes this Equality Act. He obviously voted against it. He said it attacks religious freedom. He says not about giving rights, it's taking rights away. He said, don't take my word for it. Just read from page 25. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 shall not provide a claim concerning or defense to a claim under a covered title or provide a basis for challenging the application or enforcement of a covered title. Basically, eviscerates the First Amendment. We're going to spend a lot of time on that with Jared Stepman joining us later in the same hour. Well, the CPAC conference is underway in Florida, the Conservative Political Action Conference. Governor DeSantis of Florida welcoming the conference goers and pointing out how Florida has done things right and compared to Florida, to New York and California, and how they have totally messed up their economy and dealing with COVID, penalizing their people, crippling their people, the businesses, the schools, hurting everyone around them, in addition to what COVID might be doing. You'll want to hear more comments from Governor DeSantis. And among those appearing today at CPAC, a former New York Times reporter. A former New York Times reporter admits, hey, I'm kind of surprised that I'm here. I probably should be at an ACLU meeting if you look at my voting record. But he unveils what's behind the ugly curtain when it comes to, quote, news reporting, end quote, by the leftist media. And also big tech and big tech cancellations. Oh, and here's another example. This is Black History Month. This is Black History Month. Amazon dropped a popular documentary on the only black justice on our Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas. Why? Well, you know why? Because Clarence Thomas is conservative. So rather than recognize a black man for his achievements as being a member of the U.S. Supreme Court, they just decide, let's just drop it. To hell with Black History Month if it comes to conservatives. Oh, and Oreo. Oreo cookies. Are we going to have a gender issue with Oreos? Yes, we are. Oh, and one other thing. We told you yesterday that the House Democrats, some of them drafted a letter that suggesting that Biden should release the nuclear codes, not be the only one holding them, because apparently they had some kind of fear he might misuse them. You know what happened overnight? Biden authorized a strike against Shia militia groups along the Iraqi border in Syria. I'm not saying he was wrong, but we'll look at it. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
For those of you who aren't from Florida, welcome to our oasis of freedom. We are an oasis of freedom in a nation that's suffering in many parts of the country under the yoke of oppressive lockdowns. We look around in other parts of our country, and in far too many places, we see schools closed, businesses shuttered, and lives destroyed. And while so many governors over the last year had kept locking people down, Florida lifted people up.
Those are the words of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis today, welcoming CPAC to Florida. It's normally held up in the Northeast, of course, because that's where they normally locate. But this time, beginning in Orlando, Florida. The first time it's not in the D.C. area. Now, presidents from Reagan through Trump and various conservatives of all stripes, from senators to governors, House members, cabinet members, and more, have appeared at CPAC over the decades, many times, some repeatedly. And the move, due to the coronavirus pandemic, is a big one because it was easy to get members from the House and Congress and Senate to come over to just make a quick appearance since it was in the D.C. area and then go back to what they had to be doing. But it may well be that this will be the future, that we'll stay in Florida after all. It could be a permanent relocation, at least according to the American Conservative Union chairman, Matt Schlapp. That's what he told Breitbart News exclusively. But the bottom line now, with it appearing in Florida, it's giving a perfect example of what you can do in the midst of COVID. There, I'm looking at the crowd and the chairs and so forth. I don't see great social distancing. I don't see folks running around in masks because they're recognizing we can still hold our meeting. If folks can be in the street looting and rioting and torching and attacking police, well, then we can do the same thing here. And, of course, they're also using it as an opportunity to push Republican views and conservative views forward. And I should clarify and specify conservative views, because CPAC is not the same as it used to be, and it will not be going forward. It will not be if it's going to have a real life. It will not be because Donald Trump is going to be speaking Sunday. He is the keynote speaker to wrap the entire event up. So he will be speaking Sunday and making it very clear where the party needs to be going. He is still recognized, even though he's no longer, quote, president of the United States. He is the leader of the party. Now, later today, Donald Trump Jr. will be the keynote speaker to wrap up this first day. You know who else is on the list? Let me run down it for you. Senator Mike Lee of Utah, of course. Former Governor Scott Walker, Wisconsin. Now, that's one that they, you know, there might be some question about why Scott Walker being allowed back in. He's not really walking in the same step we want to see from him. But they got also Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama, Congressman Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Senator Marshall Blackburn of Tennessee, Congressman Mark Gates of Florida, Senator Rick Scott of Florida, and just ahead of Donald Trump Jr. tonight, the last speaker before the keynote of Donald Trump Jr. is Senator Josh Hawley. So you can tell they've got a big lineup. That's just the first day. And DeSantis is using this again as an opportunity to point out how Florida has been handling everything dealing with COVID versus everyone else in the universe, especially in the leftist universe.
In Florida, schools are open. Every Floridian has a right to earn a living, and all businesses have a right to operate. Florida has lower per capita COVID mortality than the national average and lower than 27 other states. Our unemployment rate is lower than the national average, even though tourism isn't fully back. Florida got it right, and the lockdown states got it wrong.
I agree, and I applaud also. Florida got it right, all these lockdown states, blue cities, wherever you have the blue governors and mayors and politicians in control, they got it wrong. They frightened everybody. I mean, they're still talking about you could have to wear a mask through 2022, even after we have full inoculations or at least herd immunity in addition to immunizations. We might have to wear a mask because you just never know. You never know. I pointed out to you yesterday how many times we've had influenza strike and kill numerous throughout our nation over a period of years. We did not once shut down the entire nation. Is this different than what influenza is? Yes, but at the same time, in the beginning, not knowing for sure what it was, we did take added precautions. And I still have some friends who do take additional precautions. That's for them to decide. That is their personal decision. If you think you need additional protection for you or your family, then by God, use what you need and do what you think you should do. But do you think the government should be ordering all the businesses to close down, closing the schools, when in fact, for the most part, again, the CDC has confirmed schools are not an issue. They're not an issue. They're not even an issue when it comes to actually dealing with the fact that you're going to have anyone suddenly coming down sick and maybe carrying it back home to grandma. You never know. It could be that, could be something else. But what we're having now is that labor unions are carrying forward. Labor unions are doing it. Labor unions are saying, we're not going to open the schools. We want to make sure everybody is safe. Grocery stores are open on a daily basis. They will see more people in a day as a cashier at a grocery store than a teacher does in her classroom, even if other classes rotate through. You want to tell me the difference? All the difference is labor unions for the teachers. And they're trying to turn this not into making it safe for the teachers, but in fact, using this, as we already know the Democrats are doing, as a crisis to push forward green plans. And, of course, the House is still pushing forward, and Congress in general, I should say, for the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package, which much of the money has nothing to do with actual COVID relief, and a lot of it won't even be spent until 2022, and we still have several million dollars not spent from the previous COVID plans. And, of course, don't forget, the whole reason we are in this situation as we are, with the Democrats holding the House, now basically controlling the Senate by at least one vote, being the deciding vote of Kamala Harris, the VP, and holding the White House, the reason we're there is because of what happened this last election. We know that numerous states need to clean up their voter rolls. They need to get rid of those folks who are dead and still on the voting rolls and yet somehow or another still vote. We need to get those residents removed that have left the state and are still voting in that state plus another state where they live. We need to get rid of anything that would prevent us from IDing and properly making sure the person voting is who they say they are. We need more election integrity, and we need to stop mass mail-in balloting simply because, oh, we're afraid of COVID and we can't go out. Oh, we can go to the store, but we can't go out to vote. So Governor DeSantis, again, said that was one of the issues that Florida wanted to tackle as soon as this election was over. He said, actually, if you look at our state, we were making actions and taking steps before so we could preserve election integrity. Governor DeSantis.
Florida has also led and continues to lead on ensuring the integrity of our elections. Now, 20 years ago, if you had uttered the word Florida and the word elections in the same sentence, you would have been met with snickers. Well, when I came into office, I didn't wait for a crisis. I took early action to make sure we'd have a smooth election. And then when COVID hit, I rejected pressure to make hasty and ill-conceived changes to our election administration, like mass mailing of unsolicited ballots. And the result? On election night, by midnight, the state of Florida had counted, tabulated, and put out 11 million votes.
That's phenomenal, isn't it? The same state where we had the hanging chads and the whole mess up with that to begin with, and look how far they have come. And yes, that night, on election night, Florida votes were available quickly. They were available too quickly for the likes of some because the vote showed that Trump had won Florida. And they did not want to promote that Trump won Florida. Because if that word gets around, maybe some states still voting, they might go rushing in and try to readjust, recount, suddenly find new votes. I mean, they were willing to call Arizona early. They called Arizona for Biden early, and they had less at that time, less than 8% of the vote in, and they called it anyway. And a good hour, 2 hours before they did that, you had the Florida vote already there sitting in front of them, and they didn't call it. They did not want the word to go out that Trump had won Florida. But they were quick to rush in and say Biden won Arizona. DeSantis says, we're not done with our election integrity.
But we're not resting on our laurels. This year, Florida's leading on banning all forms of ballot harvesting and banning third party political groups like those funded by billionaire Mark Zuckerberg from interfering in the administration of our elections. Bottom line is this, in Florida, your vote counts, and we will continue to have a process that is transparent and that inspires confidence.
As it should be. You should be able to know that my vote is going to be properly counted. If we lose fairly because we didn't get enough votes, so be it. But all this election harvesting, putting ballot boxes everywhere, the mail-in, all of that stuff, It just opens up opportunities for fraud. I've had this battle repeatedly with a colleague that I often have on this program. I should say a guest. That would be former Congressman John LaBoutière, a Reagan Republican, not a Trumper. He said, well, Larry, he said, the Republicans also use that. Yeah, they do, but they don't cheat at it. And I don't know how many times I've had that argument. John and I are good friends, but I refuse to let that go unchallenged each and every time. And Governor DeSantis made another point that's critical. Where the party goes from here, this is going to be critical as of this point through 22 and certainly into 24.
Now, Florida's leading on the issues that matter to conservatives. We don't spout hollow rhetoric. We take decisive action. And what's true in Florida is true for conservatives across the nation. We cannot, we will not go back to the days of the failed Republican establishment of yesteryear.
That's very clear. That is very clear. We're not going to backtrack. We're not going to step back. Senator Ted Cruz also addressing the crowd today, pointing out again, the GOP is the party of the working class. He said the Republican Party is not just the party of country clubs. We're the party of steel workers, construction workers, pipeline workers, taxi cab drivers, cops, firefighters, men and women with calluses on their hands. He's absolutely right. And Governor DeSantis also warns that you need to be ready for the assault that's coming. That's coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me
this is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So at this moment in our history, and I think Rush showed us this, but particularly now, standing for the right things comes at a cost. You will be attacked. You will be smeared. And you may even be canceled by the major organs of the political left. Now, anyone can spout conservative rhetoric. We can sit around and have academic debates about conservative policy. And I'm not saying you don't do any of that. But the question is, when the Clegg lights get hot, when the left comes after you, will you stay strong or will you fold?
Well, again, the words of Governor DeSantis at the CPAC conference as it opened today in Orlando, Florida. And pointing out that if you are going to take a stance, if you're going to be a conservative, you can expect you will be under attack. They will try to cancel you. They will have you everything they can to make you disappear. And sometimes it might even come to disappear by a bullet. If you look at what happened to Scalise and others on that ball field when a Bernie Sanders supporter decided that because he considered Scalise an enemy, not a political opponent, but an enemy, that maybe the best thing was a bullet. By the way, I mentioned earlier this U.S. military strike against Iranian proxy forces in Syria. We had Air Force F-15 jet fighters dropping 7 500-pound laser-guided bombs. Apparently not all the original targets were destroyed. They were going to have two separate compounds in Syria they were going to hit, but apparently a second target was aborted because a drone orbiting high overhead saw too many civilians on the target, and we did not want that kind of collateral damage. But we did carry out a bombing. This would be the first up under Biden's administration. And I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did if we're going after these areas because they've been firing rockets back into our green zone, and they did kill an American last week and injure others. So, yeah, we need to show them we're not going to back down. So I will praise Biden for doing that. But I put it against the basis of what you're hearing from the left when they were already yesterday circulating a letter that they think Biden should not have control of the nuclear launch codes. That's right. They sent a letter around among the Democrats and direct to Biden that you should relinquish the launch codes. We need others to also be involved. In other words, not for him to make the sole decision. Now, they're already showing a lack of belief and confidence in the guy, and he's not even in office 100 days. But you also look at how the mainstream media covers this strike. Oh, they wanted to make it appear that, well, there's a good reason in how he did it. And here's how they refer to it on a CNN analysis. Biden sends a message to Iran. See, they want to point out he can get tough with Iran. He sends a message to Iran, but with a scalpel instead of a sledgehammer. In other words, that if it had been Trump, he would have been firing repeatedly, indiscriminately. We know better than that. We know better than that because the previous time when they attacked one of our facilities and they harmed no Americans but did cause some damage, Trump did not fire back immediately. He said, we had no loss of life. We'll work on it another time. We're not going to simply retaliate for that. But they don't want you to remember that. They don't want you to remember it. We need to take time and examine in detail this Equality Act. You're not going to like it. Coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA.
Well, House Democrats have done it. They passed the Radical Equality Act, and it is basically going to have a major impact on children, their parents, potentially upending the culture as American families now know it. I quoted earlier in the opening monologue from Congressman Louie Gohmert, Republican of Texas, who obviously voted against it, said this is saying the first part of the amendment, our First Amendment, that says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, that's got to go. And the leader of the Ethics and Public Policy Center said this act is a legislative malpractice that turns equality on its head. Joining us now, Jarrett Stepman, an author with the Daily Signal, also a contributor to the Heritage Foundation. Jarrett, glad to have you with us.
Oh, thanks. Good to be on.
So I was looking at the article that you wrote, and in just before it was passed, a couple of days ago, you could see it coming down the pike, or actually, I guess it's yesterday you wrote it, said how the Equality Act would impose transgender ideology on everyone. Please explain.
Yeah, this is what's really pernicious about the law, is what it does, it adds gender identity and sexual orientation to civil rights law going back to the 1960s, and it adds this essentially to federal law. And of course, on its surface, it may seem like a very small change, but it will have large ramifications. I mean, especially when you talk about the blending of gender identity. I mean, we're talking about the end of a lot of women's sports programs where biological males will be essentially forced. You'll have to allow biological males into women's sports. It could end a lot of women's only facilities as far as battered women's facilities will have to allow biological males. Even the sex segregation of prisons is something that would come under concern under this law. And this is something that would be nationwide. This is not something that your state or your locality would have any choice over. This is something that could bring essentially federal civil rights of violation. So that's why I think it's so damaging. It's so widespread. This is a huge change to American law.
Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, Republican of Missouri, since you mentioned sports, she said that if this is allowed to go nationwide, we won't have women's sports that are fair. And basically, I would add, we're not really going to have women's sports anymore anyway.
I think that's true. I mean, we already see the test case. I mean, some states have already essentially passed laws like this. We saw what happened in the state of Connecticut. I mean, we've had about 7 years of a law like this, and essentially biological males have invaded girls' sports, especially high school sports, where only biological males are winning the competitions. The girls who are involved essentially are sidelined, are pushed down to second, third, fourth. I mean, you name it, place. This is a destruction of women's sports. You're basically, I mean, I think she had a good statement. She's calling it the Inequality Act. I mean, that's really what it's doing here. It's basically destroying different spaces for women in society and destroy the sports that they can compete in and participate in.
And that's bad, but there's something underlying that's even worse, because it's what else is to come next. You point out in your article that the executive director of the American College of Pediatricians says this is basically going to create confusion for children about their biological sex, because they're basically going to use it as a way to gaslight children into a lie. They were born in the wrong body.
It puts pressure on the medical professionals to say, essentially, and this is something that is already happening, to whenever children especially have a gender confusion, to tell them essentially that the response is transition. And in public institutions, the medical professions, schools are going to get in between the decisions of parents and their children. And that's something that's going to, again, it's going to be enforced through the law. This is not something that will just simply be a debate among Americans. It'll be something that if you don't comply with, you could have a serious investigation. You could be shut down. It's going to invade every public institution, every institution that has any kind of ties to federal public money will come under scrutiny. And that's an incredible thing.
Again, folks, you're listening. Jared Stepman, author with the Daily Signal. His article is titled How Equality Act Would Impose Transgender Ideology on Everyone. He also does work for the Heritage Foundation. I'm looking at some of the layout details of this Equality Act. Let me read just one of the demands. The bill would end the federal legal recognition of complementary male and female sex in favor of gender identity. That pretty much sets the stage for total destruction of the American family and children moving forward.
It essentially imposes a single ideology about gender, a very left-wing one, on the American population. You'll have no choice. I mean, this won't even be a cultural debate. It'll simply be imposed on the American people. That's what this legislation does. That's why it's so pernicious. This goes beyond, you know, any debates or, you know, corporate virtue signaling about Mr. Potato Head. That's going to come to everybody, to every American, whether you like it or not, no matter where you are, if you have any connection to federal money or to, you know, really, if you are just an American anywhere across this country. And that's why it's so dangerous and so dramatic. It deserves more coverage, I think, than it's getting.
You heard Jared mention Mr. Potato Head. We did discuss that yesterday on the air, that Hasbro has decided to remarket, rebrand Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head so they will be gender-free. And exactly how it's going to come out, we don't know. But I also saw today that Nabisco, through Oreo Cookies, is making a point that transgenders are part of our life and acceptable. I'm not denying that that's true, but imposing it on everyone else, that's mean basically, I guess the next thing is they're going to tell you how to eat the Oreo, and some people eat it in one bite, some like to take the top apart, whatever. Bottom line is, this is just simply constantly shoving down our throat for the benefit of a small, minuscule minority.
And it's being done by a very well organized and very well funded team of activists. I think they're essentially pushing an ideology on the American people that is not in any way the majority of opinion of Americans, but many are afraid to say anything. They're afraid to push back, and very soon they're going to be afraid to do anything because the law will no longer be on their side. I mean, this I think is an egregious violation of the norm, certainly of speech in this country, and certainly the choice that parents and children make in America. It'll essentially be imposed on you through the use of this law, which will be used in all aspects of American life. And that is what makes this so dangerous. Like it goes beyond even the virtue signaling, the left-wing virtue signaling of corporations. This is going to invade your everyday life and the decisions that you make for yourself and your family.
And one in the final minute, it also deals with exempting itself. The Equality Act exempts itself from the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which means religious schools, hospitals, and adoption agencies will now face federal sanctions if they have anything to do with regard to life, sexuality, and marriage under the legislation.
And that's what makes this truly radical. I mean, even in the 1990s, when that law passed, it had broad bipartisan support. That's essentially gone. You can no longer use your religious beliefs, can no longer be a way to exempt yourself from these laws. They're very specific about that in the legislation they're pushing. And of course, this has been pushed by Democrats. I think maybe in the 1990s, that wouldn't have been the case. That is the case now. And it shows, you know, how deep they want to make this go, how much they simply want to impose their views on the entire American population, whether you like it or not.
So Congressman Gohmert, Republican of Texas, I quoted earlier, saying that this is basically making it strikes the first part of the First Amendment that says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. He said that's gone. That's wiped out by this act. I'm sure it'll be challenged, but that was the intent of it anyway.
It really is the intent of it. It's an establishment of an ideological religion on the American people, and one that, let's be honest, is very much anti-science as well. I mean, that's the whole.
Oh, you hit a major button there. These folks believe in science, and you're saying this is opposed to the science that exists.
Well, it's a funny thing when you see how the far left operates in particular. The science tends to go away whenever it crosses swords with the ideology.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening here.
Well, and again, this ending the legal recognition of biological sex, I mean, that in itself does away so-called with science. You're either born with or without a penis, and you may or may not have other hormones that exist in your body. And I truly feel for someone who is either as a child or later as an adult that are so confused they don't know. And I'm not trying to dismiss what they're feeling and suffering, but what we have again is because of that minuscule number and the leftists buying into anything and everything to re-change America, to transform it, the rest of us are going to have to now suffer because of their confusion.
And they are, and it's taking those decisions out of the hands of doctors, out of the medical professionals, out of the hands of parents, and essentially saying that you will conform to this ideology. If the force of law is going to be on the side, and that the debate is over, even though that very, very many Americans oppose this ideology completely, and I think that makes it pernicious, and that's why I think this deserves more attention than it's getting. This is a big deal. It's a big change for American law.
Yeah, and President Biden is basically apparently all with it. All right, Jordan, I want to thank you very much. I mean, Jared, I want to thank you very much for your time. We'll do it again on another topic, sir.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
You bet. Jared Stepman, author with the Daily Signal and also the Heritage Foundation. And that comment, too, about religious freedom and, of course, Biden being Catholic, Pelosi, Schumer's being Jewish. I mean, their religion, they're just throwing all their religion and their belief in their religion out so they can bow to the left. Something else I need to add coming up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I need to point out to you again that of this passage in the House of the Equality Act, which is intending to absolutely disrupt American life as we know it and put everyone under the lens of the left as to why and what you can be considered as either a male or female, and a child can be talked into having a transformation of their sex at an early age when they're still not sure what they are anyway. They can barely decide if they want a sandwich or something else for lunch. But three Republicans joined in on this. It passed through the House 224 to 206. Three Republicans. Congressman Katko of New York. Tom Reed of New York. Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania. make note of those names. Now, they claim, of course, well, this is going to extend protection for education, housing, and employment for the LGBT community. But it's doing much more than that, and it's intended to do more. You do know, of course, that Joe Biden's nominee for a top job at the Department of Health and Human Services is Rachel Levine, a man living as a woman. I could care less what someone does. It's their preference. But now they're going to be in charge and overseeing some of our Department of Health and Human Services activities. The only senator to question Levine reference the sex change that she had was Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. And raised the question in this fashion. Dr. Levine, like surgical mutilation, hormonal interruption of puberty can permanently alter and prevent secondary sexual characteristics. The American College of Pediatrics reports that 80 to 95% of prepubertal children with gender dysphoria will experience resolution by late adolescence. In other words, if they're not sure what they are, by the time they become a late adolescent, they have now decided. He said they will make that decision on their own, 80 to 95%, if they're not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation. In other words, if we just let the kids kind of sort through life, they'll figure it out. And the question to Dr. Levine, do you believe minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex? Levine, also a doctor, stonewalling the medical question by this answer. Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I'm fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I look forward to working with you in your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine. These people cannot answer a simple question. Becerra couldn't do it yesterday. Can you give me one restriction on abortion you would accept? Well, you know, it's a very important thing, and my mother prayed the rosary for me today, and we just need to come to a conclusion. Still didn't answer. And here we've got Levine, Rachel Levine, a man now living as a woman, who's going to be at a top job of the Department of Health and Human Services, when questioned about using drugs and procedures to change a child's apparent sex because they are confused, and was asked directly, do you think minors are capable of making a life-changing decision as changing one's sex? And the answer was, I just thank you for your interest in the question. It's very complex, a nuanced field. We understand all of that. Do you believe they're capable? Well, I look forward to working with you in your office. These people will not answer a simple question. And we know why. We know why. Yeah, we know why. Here's another example of the left putting its foot on the back of your neck. Amazon has been showing a documentary, Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words, a popular PBS documentary on Justice Clarence Thomas. They're not going to allow it to be streamed here during Black History Month. Thomas is our nation's only black justice currently serving on the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, you would think Amazon all about building an inclusive culture. And at least since it's Black History Month, at least they would run that on its platform. No, they're not going to. They have a numerous amount of titles honoring Black History Month with themes of black love, black joy, black history makers. I would think that's where Thomas would go. Black Girl Magic. Okay, he wouldn't go in that one, but you think they could fit it in, but they did not. They just can't seem to find space for a documentary on our only sitting black Supreme Court justice. And yet they've included films on Thurgood Marshall and even Anita Hill. That tells you everything, doesn't it? Especially when they talk about inclusiveness and when they label you racist? You tell me how racist is Amazon at that point. In the next hour, we're going to focus on this cancel culture and how it really is to be blamed for the violence we see today. They'll want to put it on the conservatives and Trump, but it's not. That's coming up the next hour. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.